Everybody, just raise your hands wherever you are. Just raise your hands. Raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands. Say this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with the anointing, with your presence. This morning, I receive everything you have for me. I receive your presence. I receive your power in Jesus' mighty name. Open my heart and open my spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You guys can give him a praise offering. Give Jesus a hand. Just come and praise him, praise him, praise him. Lebrondo shake the libede maradias ketikeneman. Zidia Nalando. Lebroska da Ravarke de libede maradios ketikeneman. Broska da Lavadia libede madios ketilibedeman. Zidilas libede madios ketilibedeman. Lebrondos ketilibede. Amen, amen. You guys can have your seats. Are you glad to be here this morning? But say with me, revelation. As you know, we preach in revelation, we preach in apocalypsis, which means it's the lifting up, the opening up of a veil, seeing something that has always been there, but we could never see it before. Discovering who you are. Listen, when you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you discover something about yourself that has always been there, you just never knew it. You discover, but wait, I'm supposed to have a great business. I'm supposed to be in ministry. I'm called as an evangelist or a prophet. I'm called as a millionaire. I'm called as, there's just something inside of me that has been discovered. It comes with revelation. Say with you, revelation. That is why it is important that revelation be preached and teached. Are you guys with me? I've been in many churches and you can have great, great preachers. But is there something that stirs you on the inside that says, but wait, I haven't heard this before. This is revelation. That is what causes life to come into your spirit. Are you guys with me? Say with me, accusations. As you know, this is the last Sunday, but we're doing on silencing demonic accusations. And we touched on it a little bit last week. And we touched on it, we went a little bit, we said what accusations are, what is an accuser. How the lady that was caught in the act of adultery was thrown in front of Jesus. And the people witnessed her doing the act. Are you guys with me? But yet Jesus called them as witnesses. He called them accusers. That means that when I point the finger to my brother or my sister, I am not seen as a witness. I am seen as an accuser. When an accusation is spoken and you open your ear to it, poison literally comes into your system. And it's difficult to get it out. Accusations has destroyed many great ministers. Are you guys with me? Even Jesus' ministry was destroyed by accusation. And I'll show it to you just now. I know his ministry is still going on, but I'm speaking of his earthly ministry ended, came to an end because of accusations. And what makes us greater? When people speak against us, their only motive is to bring division. An accuser is an employee of Satan. I'm going to say it again. An accuser is an employee of the devil. An accuser, a person who accuses, is on the payroll of Satan, operating under the anointing of hell. Accusations are anointed by hell. That's why in this church we take things very seriously when it comes to gossip, when it comes to accusation, when it comes to slander. It is not cocaine or somebody having sex outside of marriage that destroys the church. I know you can go silent now, because you're the one that's doing it, okay? So, don't act too holy just now. It is not that which destroys a church. Jesus came for the sick, not for the righteous. Are you guys with me? Not for those who are healed. He came for the sick. But the thing that destroys the church is gossip, slander, accusations, divisions. In the book of Isaiah last week we read, it says, the pointing of the finger in your midst, if you remove it, your light will come back. Your life will come back. If there's people in this church and they're accusing this one and they're accusing that one and they're accusing me and they're in the church, the Bible says we must cast them out. I can tell you that right now. Are you guys with me? Never accuse anybody of a sin. It is God will convict somebody. The people around me will know. Some of them drink and smoke. I just leave them. again, I don't know, not smoking. So smoking kind of like stopped lately in people, but I speak even in the world. But people would drink around me and I would leave it. I would not say a thing. And they'll just drink less and less and less. It's the Holy Ghost that convicts. If I say to that person to stop, condemnation comes in. And the strength of sin, the power of strength of sin is being strengthened, the Bible says, in the book of Romans. Are you guys with me? If you want to see somebody mess up more, tell them to stop doing something. It gives power to the sin. It gives strength to the sin inside of them. But if you leave them, automatically, the good news that is upon you, automatically, the anointing that is upon you, it will cause them to be, I think it was Charles Spurgeon or someone, either one of the heroes of faith, either Charles Spurgeon or Wesley or somebody said this, said they were preaching and a prostitute or a stripper came to the service and she got saved and then she gave her heart to the Lord. And she asked him, she said, listen, you know, I'm working in a strip club. What must I do? You know, must I stop? I don't hear God saying I must stop. And she's just got saved. And he said, no, carry on working. Go to work. Okay. And she carried on working for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks she stopped working. And he saw her in church when she was supposed to work. And he said, what are you doing? You aren't supposed to be in work. And she said, no, something in me just told me this is not right. When you have the Holy Ghost, something in you will just tell you what is sin or what is not. Are you guys with me? When we deviate from that path, we're stepping into a place of law. And we're stepping into a place of placing law, condemnation, and bondage upon people. I am not there to do that. We're here to preach good news. We're here to preach. When I say grace, I'm not speaking of a grace. I used to attack grace. But we're speaking of a grace that can still move in an anointing, still move in power. But you know that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins. One of the greatest attacks that I get is when people say to me, when I tell them that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And they'll tell me, no, you know, that's grace. And that, listen, the Bible says Jesus died before the foundation of this world. Which means that before the foundation of this world, your sin was taken away. When you believe on Him, are you guys with me? The moment you believe on Him, your sins are taken away, past, present, and future. He knows that you're going to mess up tomorrow. He knows that you're going to mess up the day thereafter. That's why His grace is sufficient for you. No one is perfect. No one is sinless. But when you understand grace, I would look at the Gospels, and I would see that Jesus would every time, when people would accuse others and bring them in front of Him, He would side with the accused and not with the accuser. I'm going to say it again. God's nature in Scripture is to side with the accused and not with the accuser. I don't want to be in the footsteps of somebody that accuses a man of God. Accusations is designed for one thing, to destroy the hearer and to destroy the thing to whom they are accusing. When somebody is accused, it's designed to destroy. Listen, say with me, an accuser. Say an accusation. It is Satan's best kept weapon. It is the tool, the weapon by Satan that caused Jesus' ministry to come to an end. First, Jesus was tempted in the desert. Are you guys with me? First, He was tempted. Secondly, He was attacked physically. They would carry Him up a hill, wanting to throw Him off the hill, and He escaped out of there in some way. But they tried to kill Him and attack Him physically. The first thing that will come against you as a Christian is the temptation to go back into sin. Are you guys with me? The first thing that will come is temptation to go back to old friends. Temptation to go back to the world. That's the first and the lowest attack. The second attack that will come to you once you have passed that is now physical attacks. You will see people running trying to hit you. Or you're preaching the gospel, they'll spit in your face, or they'll hit you, or they'll pull a gun out, or somebody will break into your house. It's now become physical, but that's still secondary. The highest form of attack is what we call accusatory. Are you guys with me? Accusations. So, I don't know if you believe, you don't think it is that bad. You obviously haven't been accused yet. Okay. Jesus was for 1 week until Passover, he was accused in the high court by the Pharisees and the elders and so on. and he was questioned about every facet of his life and his ministry. And that accusation took him to the cross. Are you guys with me? Accusation can kill your life in business, in ministry. Great ministries has been taken out because of accusation. Are you guys with me? I listened to accusations and accusations about me until last week when I made up my mind that it was last week, Saturday, when I was studying this. I made up my mind. I said, I will not listen to any story. I don't care who says it, who says we are in witchcraft, who says we are doing, I don't care. I will keep my heart pure because it's designed to make me bitter. It's designed to bring poison into my system and hate that person. That's the strategy of the enemy. And it brings division against the body of Christ. Are you guys with me? But if we as a people, even here at ECC, can be clean of this, your life will be pure. Listen, if you can be clean of accusation and you don't listen, you close your ears off, and you don't become a person that accuses another one. There are people in this church that's accusing me. And I'm thinking, you know what? They're still coming to church, but they don't believe in the church. I'm like, only a demon follows somebody they don't like. Okay. So, stay with me, accusations. I want to read a portion of scripture that's going to make sense to you just now. And listen. As I said to you, accusations is a silent whisperer. It is somebody trying to bring you down. It is a silent demonic whisper in your ear, telling you you are bad, telling you you are guilty. An accusation is the pointing of a finger in the church. We have fingers. Listen, when you do something for God, if stories are being told about you, it means that at least you're doing something for God. If I hear only good things about a person, I question that person. But if I hear bad things, Jesus said, he says, they will speak evil of you. There's those who desire to be godly will suffer persecution. Just your mere desire of being godly will suffer persecution. Are you guys with me? Imagine if you become godly. Listen. Accusations, the last thing that I want to touch on, and I want to go into the scripture, is the another way we can do it is when we speak to ourselves. I was just speaking this morning, I was speaking to Prophet Angel, and I tell him what I preach on, and he will help me. And he said to me this thing that stood out. He said, accusations is when our own mouth speaks against us. When you listen to sicknesses, you get bronchitis, sinuses. Are you guys with me? What I wrote here? Tonsillitis, tuberculosis, arthritis. Are you guys with me? Everyone ends with an IS, with an IS, with an L. When we speak that sickness, it says, I have that sickness now. You don't get a sickness that says, for example, arthritis or arthrite was. You don't get it. Because the devil knows that when God said the words, I am He. When you say, I am sick, you're proclaiming it over yourself. But now the devil took an ease and put it against the name of a sickness and say that in the present, you have that sickness. So when you say bronchitis, you say bronchitis right now. Are you guys with me? I don't know if you understand yet, but you're speaking death over yourself. And Job said, the very thing that I feared has come upon me. Many people fear cancer and it will come upon them. They will fear blood. They will fear a heart attack. It will come upon them because their words would speak it. Are you guys with me? Jesus is the only one who is. Sickness tries to say, I is. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. God said in the book of, in the Old Testament, I am He. No, Jesus said, I am He. He said to Moses, I am that I am. He is the only one who was and is to come. So when you replace your words, even words in our own mouth can accuse and bring poison into our system. And when you change it, just see how healthy you become. Are you guys with me? Go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 21 on the screen, please. Come on, how many of you know the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor not say, I battle with money. I can't pay my rent. I need a job. Let the poor say, I am rich. Wherever you go, that is how your words change your life. Our today is a result of yesterday's words. My tomorrow is a result of today's words. I am a product of my words spoken. Are you guys with me? My life is a product of my words spoken. I have learned one thing. I prophesy. When was it? I think me and Chris were in UK, and I was thinking, I prophesy over people and it comes to pass. And I prophesy that and it comes to pass. And I thought, this is nonsense, this thing. That's why you haven't seen, you only saw me prophesy last week. That was it. Others is like forensic. That's nothing. That's easy. Okay. You only saw me prophesy last week, and now because I said to myself, I will only prophesy to me until the things come to pass. Because we try to work and do for others, but our own lives is not. And I said, it was last year, December, the whole month, I rented a car. We didn't have a car for a whole year. I rented a car that I wanted. I thought, no, this one is too small. And I was driving, and I would say to everybody that's in the car, I said, I'll have this type of car, this one next month. This make, this by this next month. And I would keep prophesying it. When I would lie in bed, I'm not speaking of name it, claim it, frame it things. Are you guys with me? Somebody said to me, but you can't preach this message. But the Bible says, whatsoever things, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and believe that whatever they say will be done. That whatever they say will be done. Say with me, whatever. Say with me, whoever. Say whatever. And say. It doesn't say pray, it doesn't say fast. Which means, is healing God's will? Is prosperity God's will? I don't know if you say yes on that. Is prosperity God's will? Is a new house God's will? Then you can speak it and prophesy it to yourself. Listen. Why? People say to me, I'm a prosperity preacher. I said, okay. Do you want me to say, receive poverty? Let the spirit of poverty come upon you. So, 1 Kings chapter number 20. Let me show you something here. So whatever we say, whatever we speak God's will. It's not a thing of my own desires. No, it's God's desires and His promises in His word for me. That when I speak it, I can listen. It's a reason the Bible says, whatever the things you say, you shall have. It doesn't say pray, because I can tell you've prayed for years and nothing has happened. And I was saying we must pray. Prayer has been taken out of context. Prayer is solely a relationship with God. That is it. Intercession, yes, that's another thing. But prayer is to have fellowship with God. When we just, I can tell you now, you prayed for 10 or 20 years for money and you still don't have. The Bible says, speak it. When you say it, are you guys with me? So the secret is in our words. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 21. It says, and it came to pass after these things. I want you to understand and catch this. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard. Or let me say, had a church. Or a business, or a inheritance that you might have, or your family, which was in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Next verse. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden. Are you guys with me? I want you to stay with me in this. Now listen here. Ahab, a wicked king, married to Jezebel, said, listen here, this vineyard of yours, Naboth, this church, this business, or the inheritance, or a family that you have, or your life that you have, the thing that represents your life, give it to me so that I can make of it a vegetable garden. There's nothing more insulting than those words. Are you guys with me? Say with me, there's power in my inheritance. You'll understand now. Because it is near next to my house, he says, and for it, I will give you a vineyard better than it. I wish I have a lot more time on it. Listen. I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money. Next verse. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance. Say with me, inheritance. of my Father's to you. This is the power. Listen, every single person sitting in this place, you have a heavenly inheritance. You have, the Bible says that our inheritance is the riches of His glory, the fullness. It is everything, the inheritance that God has for you, the promise you can step into. Are you guys with me? It is the inheritance. I'm not speaking of heaven. I'm speaking of an inheritance here. Naboth had this inheritance, whether it was a business, a ministry, whether it was a good family, whether it was whatever it might be, prosperity. He had this inheritance. He said, listen here, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that of my Father's to you. Satan is not after you. He's after your inheritance. He's after your offspring. He's after what you can produce and who you can produce. I'm going to say it again. Listen. And we're busy. We're only 1 year old, but we disciple people through a course that is very big. And I was thinking last night, the purpose of a church here on a Sunday morning is not for good preaching. The purpose is to equip every single person for the work of the ministry. If you're in business, if you're working somewhere, but you're just so equipped with the Holy Ghost that if somebody comes into your shop, you know how to lay hands on them. You know how to prophesy. If you're a business person, you can relate to other business. It's an equipping that's taking place. Apart from that equipping, there's an empowering and importation that takes place, which means now the supernatural begins to move through you. Are you guys with me? So that is the work for every person here, which means that there's an inheritance that you have, that the devil is not after you, he's after your inheritance. David, when he was looking over the sheep, a lion and a bear came. And the Bible says that the lion took one of the sheep, and David ran after it and took the lamb, I think it was. What is a baby sheep? A lamb. Took the lamb out of the mouth of the lion. The lion did not take a sheep. It took a lamb, the offspring of the sheep. The enemy is after your offspring. Who will you disciple? Who will you train up? Who will you raise up? What will you produce? What businesses will you produce that can sow into the kingdom? What family, what people can you disciple? He's after what your destiny and your inheritance is. That is it. He knows you're going to heaven, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Your salvation cannot be taken away. I'm going to say it again. Your salvation cannot be taken away except by you that want to leave out of it. Okay? Satan cannot come and take your salvation away. You cannot lose your salvation through a lack of good works. You never attained it through doing good works. This thing was given to you as a gift, but you can choose to go another way. That's another story. It's another story. It's predestination, okay? So you can choose to go another way. But Satan is after what we can produce. And Naboth is a good pastor or a good businessman. He's saying, listen here, I will not give this inheritance. Even though you are a king, I will not give my inheritance to you. Next verse. So Ahab went into his house, sullen, and I don't know what sullen means. I'm sure depressed and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, for Naboth said, I will not give the inheritance of my father. And Ahab lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. Ahab is symbolic of Satan. When you stand fast and you say, I refuse to give my inheritance. I refuse to give up what God has birthed, even at ECC, what He's put inside of me, what I'm going to duplicate and multiply. I refuse to give it up to Satan. You make him mad. You make him not wanting to eat. You make Satan depressed, turning and tossing on his bed, looking away, angry, because he's wondering, why don't you want to give up your inheritance, even if I offer you so much money? Come on, they offered Judas a bag of silver coins, silver pieces. They offered him something. Satan will try to say to you, listen, I'm taking this from you, and I'll make a vegetable garden out of it. I will dishonor this thing. Number two, I will give you another vineyard. Listen, I have something that's better for you. And Satan will entice me for a different and better inheritance. He will say, listen here, this one looks better. Come here. And there's the trap. Or he will say, listen here, I'll give you money's worth. How many people went out of the ministry because the world looked better, or it money looked better? Are you guys with me? So you upset Satan when you say, I will not let go of my inheritance. Next verse. But Jezebel, his wife, And Jezebel is not only a woman, Jezebel is a spirit. It can be a man in a suit or a woman with red lipstick, okay? But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sullen? I assume it's depressed. I don't know what it means. That you eat no food. Next verse. He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I'll give you another vineyard. Ahab is complaining, saying to Jezebel, I told this guy this. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Next verse. So listen, I want you to see this. First of all, temptation came to Naboth. Are you guys with me? Ahab said, I'll give you a better one. Temptation came. Now we see how threats, physical attack and accusation is going to come his way. Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. And we haven't even done a marriage course yet. But this is what we bring into a marriage course, okay? Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Next verse. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name. Listen to this. Sealed them with a seal and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. Next verse. She wrote in the letters, she was now falsely accusing him, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people. Next verse. And seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. Now listen, this accusation was half true. Are you guys with me? Because he did kind of like blaspheme against the king. But he never blasphemed against God. Whenever somebody is accusing you, there's always an element of truth in it. But it's not the whole truth. And the devil will put you in a high place, seat him high, make him feel like he's being promoted. The devil, when he takes your inheritance, or he will try to, if he can't take your inheritance, he will try to promote you and put you in a high place. But he says, but then put scoundrels before him to bear witness against him. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. Next verse. So the men of his city, elders and nobles who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. Next verse. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. Next verse. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him so that he died. Listen, accusations against your life is there to kill and destroy and take your inheritance. I'm going to say it again. Accusations that come against you is to remove your inheritance. What is your inheritance? It's when you discover destiny inside of you. When you get saved, you get filled with the light. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you realize, but wait, I have the ability to do this. I can do this. Do you know that unsaved people, even if they sit in this building, people in the world are going through depression. They're going through money problems. When you are saved, you worry about one thing, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You praise God for one thing, even though everything falls around apart in you. Money falls down, it doesn't, sickness doesn't matter. But there's one thing you are sure of, that when you get to the gates of heaven, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus said, if you can praise me for one thing, you can praise me for this thing. That is what hope we as Christians have, which the lost and the world out there does not have. They don't have a God they can believe in. Come on, are you guys with me? They don't have, there's no hope. I've been at funerals with unsaved people. There's no hope. Then they took him outside and they stoned him. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. Next verse. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise now, take your possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but he is dead. Next verse. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up, went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Next verse. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Everybody say with me, Elijah. He was a prophet there. When God saw a man seemingly unimportant called Naboth, The only place you read of him is here in the scripture. Are you guys with me? Bible says he had a vineyard, that is it. But yet when he was murdered, when his inheritance was taken, there was one person who heard it. That is God, who takes serious when somebody's inheritance is taken. And he went and whispered into the ears of his prophets, which means the prophetic deals with accusations. The prophetic, if you don't have, and listen, I'm not speaking about a fake prophet or false people that cannot prophesy, a true office of a prophet. People, prophets we have in our midst here that comes like Pastor Mark, that comes like Prophet Angel, they come and they carry a gift. They come and deal. The prophetic in this church, the prophetic nation in this church is there to slay accusations against your life. It will remove the poison. It will destroy poison. Are you guys with me? Then the word of the Lord. Say with me, then. God was waiting till that blood was spilt because he wants vengeance. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, next verse. Arise now. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. Next verse, you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, the dog shall lick your blood, Ahab, and even yours. Are you guys with me? Next verse. So Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me? So listen, Ahab looks at Elijah, and he's like, oh, have you found me, my enemy? Which is an arrogant statement. And he answered and said, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to the devil in the sight of the Lord. Next verse. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your prosperity. I will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. And I speak this over every demonic accuser upon your life. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Asher, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. Accusers in the church, they provoke God to anger. I'm going to say it again. When people are sitting in the church, leaders, even in your business, wherever in your life, when they accuse, they are provoking God to anger. Are you guys with me? Next verse. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, and the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Stand to your feet wherever you are. Go back to verse 19. Listen, you shall speak to Ahab. Say with me, I shall speak to my accusers, to my enemies, to any demonic accuser. Listen to this. The place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, the place where the enemy tried to take you out, the place where the enemy tried to remove you, in that same place, the dogs shall lick the blood of any accuser that is coming against your life. That is an accusing spirit. Raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands. We're not finished yet, Just raise your hands. Say with me these words. Say, I receive this promise. I rebuke every accuser against my business, against my ministry, against my life, my family, my finances. The pointing of the finger, the whispering in the ear, every accusing voice, I destroy it tonight, this morning, in Jesus' name. This day, I remove the poison of accusation in Jesus' name. Listen. Have you seen? What are we doing? We're just decreeing. Are you guys with me? We're making declaration. I'll close off with this. I don't want to be too long. Maybe 10 more minutes or so. Just stay with me. There's things that I wrote down here. How to silence your accuser. Number one, say with me, prayer. How do I silence my accuser? Number one, prayer. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. Is I pray for them. Psalm 109 verse 4. Put verse 4 on. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Say with me, say, I give myself to prayer. What it actually means, he says, I have become prayer. That's what the Hebrew statement means. That's where you get the song that we sometimes sing, the house of prayer. I have become prayer. I have given my, they are my accusers in return of my love that I showed them. How much love have I shown ministers, my brothers, my sisters, and they would turn around and accuse me. But I am in prayer. If I cannot pray for him anymore, there's bitterness in my heart. Are you guys with me? If I cannot pray for my enemy, if I cannot get on my knees in my room and pray for a person, like for example, there was two that really hurt me in the last few months of ministers now, and I had to get on my knees and say, God, I forgive this man and I forgive this one because they have hurt me and they've caused a lot of trouble. They closed doors here, they went and told stories here, but I'm praying for them so that I can get that bitterness out of my heart. I give myself, how do I silence accusers? Number one, prayer. Number two, say with me, open confrontation. And I like that one because I'm a confrontational person. So open confrontation. That's how you deal with accusers. Number three, teaching. The best thing I can do to you as a church is to teach you on subjects such as accusing, loyalty, rebellion, because you will know how to deal with those in your midst. And when it comes to every believer, you'll know in your heart how to deal with it. Teaching is the greatest way to deal with it. Listen. Number four is common sense logic. Just common sense. Number five, agree with. There's a scripture that says, quickly agree with your enemy. Matthew 5, it says, quickly agree with your accuser, which means that actually agree with them. Say, yeah. It is like, it's a way to silence them. Number six is silence. So there's silence. You just ignore them. On Facebook, I don't even answer comments. I just ignore them. And number seven is what I call the prophetic anointing. What we saw by Naboth. How when God saw that, God did not go to his pastor. He did not go to an evangelist. He did not go to an apostle or a king. He went to a prophet. Are you guys with me? He whispered in the ear of a prophet, go now and declare judgment. Somebody made a stupid comment on Facebook saying, you know, the prophetic ministry is only edification, exhortation, and comfort. I know some of you believe that. That is the gift. Let me educate that person and those who are watching live. And there's three realms of prophecy, and Pastor Mark will be here next week. Spirit of prophecy, every person can operate in. The gift of prophecy is just a bit of a higher level. That is where it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. But the office of a prophet is there for direction and judgment and guidance. Judgment. There's no scripture where it says that the office of a prophet is there for edification, exhortation, and comfort. No. God still uses prophets to judge right throughout the New Testament. Are you guys with me? Listen, we'll close off with this. Go into Revelation chapter number 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, verse 10. We'll close with this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, so this salvation, and strength, so this strength, and the kingdom of our God, say kingdom, and the power of his Christ, say power, has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. When the accuser is removed, four things returns back into a church. Four things returns back into the lives of believers. When an accuser, listen, if there's accusers even here, I remove them out of the church. When the accuser accuses us, I close our ears to it. We don't listen to it. When the accuser is removed, number one, salvation is returned. Salvation is not only going to heaven. Are you guys with me? Salvation means healing and deliverance and prosperity and all these different things. Salvation is returned. Number two, strength comes back into your life. You will, when accusations is removed from your life and you don't even listen to it, never listen to a person who runs your church down or your pastor down. It will just cause confusion. Are you guys with me? And common sense should tell you that that person is wrong. Okay, strength will return, you'll feel strong. Say with me, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will return in your life, which means power, authority, rule and reign, the ability to cast out devils. When you are constantly accused, even your power to cast out devils is diminished. But when you don't give an ear to any accusation, and the pointing of the finger is removed out of the church, you will have power, you will have light back into your life. The kingdom of God will return. And so the power of his Christ. This is the power of God, but it goes further. The power of His Christ, the power of His anointing, of His anointed one, which means that when you cast out, when you remove accusations, the pointing of the finger, the accuser, the whispering, demonic whispering in the ear, and like I said, your own mouth speaking against you, when we stop that, the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost will come back upon your life in such a strong way, you'll be able to cast out devils, heal the sick, lay hands, prophesy over people. Your ministry and your life will return back to you. Come on, give Jesus a praise offering.